Today is the 22nd day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we do what we always do. Gather together around the global campfire and take the next step forward together. And so that is why we're here. That's what we're about to do. We started the book of Job yesterday. And so we talked about the territory that we are entering into and the theme of suffering that Job deals with. And then we found out what happened to Job. And man, Job lost everything. The catastrophe that came upon Job is unthinkable. Like, to suffer through that is unthinkable all in one day. So Job is certainly traumatized, and he's just been grieving. His friends have come around him, and they've sat Shiva with him. They've sat for like a whole week without saying anything, just being present, just offering their presence to him, not their counsel. They're waiting for Job to speak, and he started speaking, and now it's on, basically. The friends will be dialoguing from here forth, and we will listen to their wisdom as they try to counsel Job that he had to do something wrong to be judged like this. And so with that, let's take the next step forward. Job chapters 4 through 7 today. Then Eliphaz the Temanite responded, "If someone ventures to have a word with you, will you grow impatient? But who can refrain from speaking up? You yourself have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have raised up people who were stumbling, and you have given support to buckling knees. But now that this has happened to you, you grow impatient. This strikes you, and you are disturbed. Shouldn't your piety give you confidence? Don't your blameless ways give you reason to hope? Now, remember this. Who has ever perished if he was innocent? Where were the upright ever erased? This is what I have observed. Those who plow evil and sow trouble will reap the same. By the breath of God they perish. By the blast from his nostrils they come to an end. The lion roars, and the fierce lion growls, but the teeth of the young lion are broken. The strong lion perishes from a lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. A word was delivered to me secretly. My ears caught a whisper of it. In the middle of anxious thoughts arising from visions in the night, at the time when deep sleep falls upon people, terror and trembling came over me and made all my bones tremble. A spirit passed in front of my face. The hair on my body stood on end. A figure stood in front of me, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a quiet voice say, 'Can a person be righteous before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? If God does not trust his own servants, if he charges his messengers with error, how much more those who dwell in clay houses, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed more quickly than a moth? From dawn to dusk they are smashed to pieces. They perish forever, and no one even notices. Won't the ropes that hold up their tents be pulled up, so that they die without gaining wisdom? Call out. Is there anyone there to answer you? To which of the holy ones will you turn? It's true, the fool is killed by resentment, and the gullible are put to death by jealousy. I myself have seen a fool putting down roots, but immediately I pronounced a curse on his home. His children are far from safety. They are crushed at the city gate without a defender. His harvest is eaten by the hungry, who snatch it away even from among the thorns and the thirsty swallow his children's wealth. Disaster does not just spring up from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the soil. No, mankind is born for trouble as surely as flames fly upward. But I want to appeal to God. I want to present my case to Him. He does great things that are beyond investigation, and miracles that are too many to be counted. He provides rain for the earth. He waters the fields and the countryside. He raises the lowly to the heights, and He lifts those who mourn to safety. He foils the plots of clever schemers so that their hands achieve no success. He traps the wise in their schemes, and the plans of the devious come to a swift end. By day they encounter darkness, and at noon they grope around as if it were night. He saves the poor from mouths that cut like a sword, and from the hand of the strong. He does this so that the helpless will have hope, and injustice will shut its mouth. Consider this. How blessed is the man whom God corrects? Do not reject the discipline of the Almighty, for though He may inflict wounds, He also bandages them. Though He may strike, His hands also heal. From six calamities He will rescue you. In seven, no harm will touch you. In famine, He will redeem you from death, and in battle, He will redeem you from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the lash of the tongue, and you will not be afraid of devastation when it comes. You will laugh at devastation and hunger. You will not be afraid of the wild animals of the countryside, because there will be a covenant between you and the stones in the field, and the wild animals will be at peace with you. You will know that your tent is secure, and when you inspect your property, you will find nothing missing. You will know that your offspring will be many, and your descendants will be like grass from the earth. You will come to the grave at a ripe old age, like a stack of sheaves that is gathered in season. Consider this. We have investigated this carefully, and it is true. Pay close attention and apply it to yourself. Then Job responded, "If only my grief could be weighed and my devastation placed on the scales with it, they would certainly weigh more than the sand of the sea. No wonder my words have been rash. The arrows of the Almighty stick in me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terrors of God are lined up against me. Does the wild donkey bray when it has green grass? Does the ox bellow when it is near its fodder? Is tasteless food eaten without salt? Is there flavor in the white of an egg? I absolutely refuse to touch it. It is no better than sickening food. If only my request would be granted. If only God would grant me what I hope for. That God would decide to crush me. That He would unleash His hand and cut me off. For then I would still have this comfort. Even as I writhe in relentless pain, I have not denied the words of the Holy One. What strength do I have to wait hopefully? What end awaits me that would make me want to prolong my life? Is my strength like stone, or is my flesh bronze? Certainly I have no power to help myself, since the hope that I can recover has been driven far away from me. A despairing person should receive loyalty from his friends, even if he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. But my brothers are as undependable as gullies that dry up, undependable as seasonal streams which overflow when they are darkened by ice and swollen with melting snow. But as quickly as they flood, they dry up in the scorching winds. When it gets hot, they vanish from their channels. Caravans turn aside from their routes. They go off into the empty wasteland and perish. The caravans of Tima search for these streams. The travelers of Sheba hope to find them. But despite being confident, they are disappointed. They arrive there only to be frustrated. Now that is what you are like. You have seen something dreadful and you panic. Have I said, give me something or offer a payment on my behalf from your wealth? Have I said, save me from the hand of my enemy or redeem me from the hand of the ruthless? Teach me and I will be silent. Help me understand what I have done wrong. How painful honest words are. But what does your rebuke prove? Do you intend to attack me for mere words, by treating things said by a despairing man like wind? No doubt you would even cast lots for a fatherless child and barter away your friend. But now, please, look at me. I would not lie to your face. Turn to me and get rid of injustice. Turn to me. My righteousness is still intact. Is there any injustice on my tongue? Wouldn't my mouth detect it if I were speaking destructive words? Isn't man's time on earth like being compelled to serve in the army? Aren't his days like those of a hired man? Like a slave, he longs for shade, or like a day laborer, he waits for his pay. In the same way, I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of agony have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? But the night drags on, and I am filled with restlessness until dawn. My flesh is clothed with maggots and caked with dirt. My skin scabs over and then oozes again. My days pass by more swiftly than the shuttle of a weaver's loom. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is just a breath. My eyes will never again see good fortune. The eyes that see me now will no longer watch me. Your eyes will look for me, but I will not be there. As a cloud vanishes and has gone, so does the one who goes down to the grave. He does not come back up again. He never again returns to his home, and his place will no longer know him. That is why I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will lament in the bitterness of my soul. Am I the sea or a great creature of the deep that you need to put me under guard? When I say that my bed will comfort me and my couch will help me with my lament, then you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with visions. So I would prefer to be strangled, and I prefer death more than my current existence. I reject my life. I do not want to live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are just a vanishing vapor. What is man that you make so much of him, that you pay so much attention to him, that you inspect him every morning and test him every minute? Why do you never stop watching me? Why don't you leave me alone long enough for me to swallow my spit? If I have sinned, what harm has it done to you? You who keep watch on mankind, why have you set me up as your target? How have I become a burden to you? Why do you not forgive my rebellion? Why do you not take away my guilt? Soon I will lie down in the dust. You will search for me, but I will not be there. First Corinthians 14:18-40. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, but be like babies in regard to evil. and be mature in your thinking. It is written in the law, by different tongues and by foreign lips, I will speak to this people, and even so, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are a sign meant for unbelievers, not believers, whereas prophecy is for believers, not unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together in the same place and all speak in tongues, and uninformed visitors or unbelievers come in, won't they say that you are crazy? But if all prophesy and some unbeliever or uninformed visitor comes in, he is reproved by all and judged by all. The secrets of his heart are revealed, and under those circumstances, he will fall down on his face and worship God, declaring, God really is among you. So, brothers, what is to be done? When you come together, each one of you has a psalm or a teaching or a revelation or an utterance in a tongue or an interpretation. Let all things be done in a way that builds people up. If someone speaks in a tongue, limit it to two or at most three, speaking one at a time, and have one person interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he is to keep silent in the church and keep his speaking between himself and God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others carefully evaluate what was said. But if a revelation comes to another person as he sits there, let the first person become silent. For you all can do your prophesying one at a time, so that all may learn and all may be encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are also subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Instead, they are to be subordinate, as also the law says. If they desire to learn something, let them ask their own men at home, because it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. Or are you the ones from whom the word of God has gone out? Or did it come to you alone? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual person, let him recognize that the things I write to you are the Lord's commands. But if anyone disregards them, he should be disregarded. So, brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but let all things be done decently and in good order. Psalm 37, 30 through 40. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. His tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spy on the righteous one and seek to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in their hand. He will not let him be condemned when he is put on trial. Wait for the Lord and keep to his way. He will raise you up to take possession of the earth. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I saw a wicked, ruthless man. He was rooted like a green plant in its native soil, but he passed away. Just like that, he was gone. I searched for him, but he could not be found. Take note of the blameless. Look at the upright. Yes, there is a future for the man of peace, but rebels will be completely destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of stress. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked. He saves them because they have taken refuge in him. Proverbs 21:27. A sacrifice offered by wicked people is an abomination. How much more when they bring it with evil intent? Okay, so as we launched ourselves into the book of Job yesterday, we obviously took on a new complexion. We've moved into new territory, new topics, and new people, and we are now not in exile and kind of the back and forth of battle and building walls and rebuilding temples and just trying to figure out what's going on. We are now getting very intimately aware of tragedy, trauma, depression, anxiety, and hopelessness. Things that still exist today. We're looking back thousands of years watching the wrestling going on with human suffering, and it's still with us today. We still wrestle with these things today. In fact, I know this is true. I know that lots of us come here every day to deal with some of these things, to just allow the scriptures to wash over us and wash away the panic and anxiety so that we can move. I know that's happening. And the Bible has led us here, and it gives plenty of language and plenty of human understanding. We will ultimately find out that nobody really knows what they're talking about, but God does show up. And so as we listen to Job, we can listen to him as if he's just ranting and raving, but if we would understand this guy is traumatized and he's deeply hopeless and he has an existential crisis on his hand because he believes he's been true to God and he's not losing his faith in God. In fact, he seems to want to die so that he doesn't lose his faith, so that he doesn't become unrighteous. He's trying to hold on to his integrity. And so when we watch Job back and forth, we have to understand this is where he's coming from. This is what he has to say, and this is what he wants. And then we have to listen to his friends, because they start sounding very familiar. They start saying things that we still say to our brothers and sisters, our friends and family who are suffering, because we don't know exactly what to say. And sometimes there isn't an answer. And trust me on this, I hate that's true. But we are looking back thousands of years in the Bible, and we have plenty of stories of people who went through things and didn't have answers. And that's how it works. That leads us to reach in faith beyond our own understanding. So we watched Job's tragedy befall him, and we watched him tear his clothes and throw ashes on his head and fall to the ground and worship God and say, I came naked into this world and I'll leave naked. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Job's closest friends arrived and sat Shiva, and that is such a beautiful tradition in grief. So often when a person is suffering so deeply, we don't know what to say, so we just start saying things. What we see is an example here of his friends coming and sitting with him and not saying anything. Job is the one to initiate the conversation. They've just come to let him know that they are there and they aren't leaving. And then Job does begin to speak, and he pours out the anguish that is in his soul. And then today we begin to get the dialogue. Eliphaz, one of his friends, starts trying to comfort him. And he says a lot of words that kind of boil down to, hey, Job, things happen for a reason. And if you would trust God, the Lord would certainly rescue you. He would restore you. And that sounds incredibly contemporary. That sounds like the kinds of things that get said. But what we begin to discover is that Job is cut so deeply that he wants something that they can't provide. He doesn't want human opinion about what God does or does not do. He does not want human wisdom about what people have observed about God, because Job feels like he knows those things, and he is facing something that he doesn't know. He knows the human wisdom, but he is facing something that human wisdom can't answer. He wants God. And in the coming days, he will become more and more clear that they are not helping him. He knows what they are saying. He wants God. And his friends become more and more agitated because they try to convince him that he'll never find God if he will not humble himself and own his transgression. And we will continue the wrestling match tomorrow. And Holy Spirit, come as we enter into this territory, because it's tender territory. It's in the scriptures. It touches tender places. You are leading us here. We are entering this territory. We open ourselves to you in all of our own stories and all of our own hurts, anxieties, hopelessness, and depression, and any of the things that a human being can face emotionally. Lead us to what we need to hear. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good evening, DAB family. This is Simone from Texas, and this is for Angie from Devon. I think you said, oh, sweet girl, just listening to your message broke my heart. And I just wanted to quickly share that my niece was in the same situation as you. Her and her husband tried for 10 years to have a baby, and last year, October, God blessed them with a child of their own, a little girl, and I call her my granddaughter Promise, because she was the promise. And for 10 years we fasted, prayed, believed God for her, and God did exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever think or ask with Promise. So Father God, I just lift up your daughter Angie to you, and God, your word says that you are near to the broken heart, and your daughter is brokenhearted. So God, we just ask that, because we know nothing is too hard for you, that you would wrap your loving arms around her. God, we don't know for sure if it is your will for her to become a mother, but we do know that you grant us the desires of our hearts, and it's the desire of her heart to become a mother. So God, I ask that you will move in her life and move on her circumstance and her situation, and show yourself powerful and mighty in this situation. Grant her a peace that surpasses all understanding, and comfort her, Jesus. So we just thank you now for what it is you're doing in Angie's life, and how you're going to use this as a testimony at some point in her life, I pray. And we just love you. And thank you, and we give you all the glory.
Hey, Dab family. It's Blessings Flow in Pennsylvania. Today is August 16th, I believe. I wanted to pray for Albanita in Maryland. I think she said she's on July 21st catching up, but she left a prayer request. Lord, we thank you so much for our sister, Albanita, God. And Lord, she shared about her job and how she loves working with students in crisis, but it's really been hard to pay the bills. And I just thank you that we could hear in her voice a joy, even in the midst of stress, Lord. You said to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And I thank you, God, that the joy of the Lord is her strength, God. I thank you, God of hope. We pray that you would fill her with all joy and peace in believing, that she may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you're near the brokenhearted, God, and we know that at times she has been brokenhearted over this, her pay being low and paying for daycare, God, and it's been stressful, Lord, and Perhaps there's been tears, God, and there's been a lot of questions, Lord, but I thank you, God of hope and God of all comfort, that you're near her. Lord, we ask right now, you who are gracious and compassionate, you who wait to hear our voice, we're asking for direction. We're asking for increased finances. We're asking for favor for our sister in the name of Jesus. We're praying for a breakthrough in Jesus' name, God. We're believing you for the impossible, Lord. Even this year, God, a financial increase and just your peace. We're lifting up our sister, whom you love and we love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm a first-time caller. This is really hard for me. It's my first time calling. I normally do not have asked for prayers, but just had a miscarriage 2 weeks ago. And I've prayed for this baby, prayed so hard, and I just want to give my older daughter another sibling. If you could just pray for me, just pray that God's will should just be done. Just God should just bless me with a rainbow baby. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hi. Gracefield DeCastro here, and this is for Angie in Devon. Oh, my darling, you actually broke me today. Your cries and, your emotions got to me. So, you've been on my mind, and I've got Romans 8, verse 18 here for you. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. This is such a tricky thing to tell somebody when you haven't, experienced what they're experiencing. And I just want to say to you that God hears you. He hears your tears. He knows what you're going through. But I would just like to encourage you to just trust, wait on him. Wait on him. He has your best intentions at heart. And we need to remember that sometimes, God knows what is right for us. And when we receive it, it's the best blessing. Sometimes it's not what we want, but what God wants for us. Just remember that. It is hard. When it's something that you desire, but God knows this. Trust his timing, trust that he's faithful. And, basically everything that you're going through now, the joy will supersede that. Take care, my love. We're praying for you. We love you. Stay blessed and stay in the word.